This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Let's talk with Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports. He is a draft analyst, breaks down all things NFL and prospects related. He's got his latest piece out on our Twitter page, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan, about Justin Herbert and the incredible turnaround from his senior year at Oregon and largely his whole career at Oregon to LA and what he has done. We've talked about this before. We just don't recognize this quarterback because it wasn't the guy we saw in Eugene in many ways. And Chris does a great job of breaking it all down. So you can find his piece at CBSSports.com. And he joins us now. Chris, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. Great piece on Herbert and the offensive differences between what they were doing in Eugene and what they're currently doing in LA. Before we get to that, though, I do want to ask, you kind of highlight it in the piece, but for the listeners who haven't checked it out yet, what was your initial thought on Herbert as a prospect coming into the draft?
I was a pretty big fan of him. That by the time the draft came around in late April, a lot of people were down on him. And I think a lot of that had to do with what you were insinuating, that the Oregon offense kind of just put him in the background, that in his senior season, they had all this hype that had a lot of people thinking he could be the first overall pick, you know, and he wasn't the focal point of the offense. But I had scouted him in 2018, and I thought he broke out in 2017 as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So I had seen him make those big-time plays earlier in his career when he was a younger player. I had him as a top 15 prospect and as my second quarterback behind Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this yesterday, and it blew me. Some of the numbers blew me away, and it launched into this whole back and forth with listeners about what Oregon did with him and what the Chargers are doing. So for those, again, who haven't read it, like, the percentages that Oregon ran the football on third and long, let people know what that is, and then how are the Chargers taking that and then putting him in a position that Oregon really was never able to do and make it easier for him to succeed?
Yeah, last year in 2019, Oregon's offense on third and long, and that was third and seven plus, ran the football almost 21% of the time, which is a super high number. Through five games, five Justin Herbert starts in LA with the Chargers, only 6.5% of the time they've run the football in those third and long situations. First and 10 situations, Oregon ran the football more frequently than the Chargers are doing. And then second and long as well. So I think they're just taking the reins off Justin Herbert and saying, we picked him number six overall. We're not going to try to protect him by running the football on first and 10, on second and long, to hopefully get in third and manageable. They're saying, hey, you're our quarterback. We know that you have the arm, the athleticism, mm-hmm. and 42 career starts in the Pac-12. Go out there and show us what you can do. So I just like that they've kind of taken the lid off Justin Herbert and let him play and really tap into all of his talent. And I think we've seen someone that right now, probably along with Joe Burrow, is a front runner to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, Chris Trapasso is our guest here. CBS Sports covers the NFL draft, prospects coming out, and all things NFL related. His latest pieces on Herbert and the difference from what he was doing in Eugene to what he's doing in LA. You also highlight, and we all know this as sports fans, finding the right quarterback is probably the toughest thing to do in all of sports. There's so many different criteria that people use, and I don't know if we ever got a definitive one. Maybe Andy Reid's the guy to talk to, Patrick Mahomes, what he did with Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, etc. But overall, it's a tough gig to try to find that franchise guy. And look, you can compare two guys from the same program. Kyler Murray's looked really good so far, and Baker Mayfield seems to be struggling. So it's not even given that a certain system will produce the same quarterback. When you talk to GMs, et cetera, and you know, Herbert's evolved part of this conversation too, but when you talk to GMs or execs during the draft process, how many different opinions or philosophies do you hear on how you evaluate quarterbacks?
It's countless. I mean, every team, every GM, every scouting department seemingly has different intricacies that they try to look for in these quarterback prospects. And I think you're absolutely spot on that quarterback is the, by far the most difficult position to evaluate because of all the cerebral stuff. And I wrote this in the article that goes into playing the position, from how you deal with playing in a hostile environment when you're touching the football every play, to how quickly you can uncover and decide, okay, they're rotating their safety right as I catch the snap. Where do I go with the football, or where do I throw it if this linebacker blitzes or if he doesn't? There's so much of that that is between the ears. Mm-hmm. But then you also have to have, especially in today's NFL, not only a good arm that can throw an accurate football, but we're seeing some of these young quarterbacks, and Herbert's one of them, that can make plays outside the pocket with their legs, throwing on the run and picking up a third and long if everyone's covered, running the football as a scrambler. So there's so many elements, and every team looks for, you know, a few different things. But I do think that the trendy quarterback today is the Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen type that can win from in the pocket and when things break down.
Yeah, you want a guy that can move around a little bit. The numbers you break down on third and long from this year, too, are just remarkable. I mean, and again, as you mentioned, 7 yards or further on third and long. He's averaging almost 12 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and his QB rating is a 150.3, which leads the NFL. How do you make sense of just how it's clicked for him so early on in what you would assume for a young quarterback would be a really difficult situation, and that's third and long against an NFL defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really impressive. Like, I don't think anyone, including myself, like, we weren't expecting this from Justin Herbert this early, but how I've kind of approached it this week, you know, researching that article, watching the film, is that, like I said before, and you guys and a lot of your listeners know that in 2017 as a sophomore, that's when the buzz started, where he made a lot of incredible throws that year. And that Oregon offense really let him just throw the football. They put him, they said, hey, we don't have a ton of talent around you. Just throw the football. It's not a run-heavy offense. After that, it kind of went to a defense and a run-based approach. I've kind of approached it like, if Justin Herbert would have just stayed in an offense that featured him, it would not have been surprising that he would have had a fast start in the NFL. And he probably would have gone even higher in the draft. He wouldn't have been the second quarterback off the board. But because he was kind of sheltered in that offense the past two seasons at Oregon, that's why I think a lot of people are surprised that he's making all these great throws. He's always had the ability. And I wrote in the conclusion of my article that it was a masked year for him, that running the football on third and long 21% of the time, they just, for some reason, didn't trust him or didn't want to put the football in his hands in those critical situations. And I think the Chargers are saying, hey, we drafted you. We don't have a lot of time to wait. Let's give you the football and see what you can do. Can you make those plays in those critical situations or not? Mm-hmm. And thus far, he's really passing the test with flying colors.
Yeah, Chris Trapasso is our guest here, CBS Sports draft analyst. He's got a piece on Herbert breaking down all the differences about how the Chargers have just basically unleashed him and why the rookie quarterback has looked better in the NFL than he did at Oregon. You're going to have to entertain us here for a quick second, Chris, because you mentioned something and I want to pick your brain. We've done the pre and post game show because we're the home of the Ducks here. So we've heard and read a lot of thoughts on from Oregon fan on what the offense has been. There's some games where they don't put up a ton of points and it's kind of predictable, and that's what it was for 2 years. It might be different now that Joe Moorhead's here, but in the film that you watched with Herbert in college, could you walk us through your thoughts when you watched a Marcus Arroyo-led offense in Eugene with a quarterback like Herbert?
It was, for me, from a draft lens, it was really frustrating because, kind of like I've said this whole interview, and what really is the thesis of the article that I wrote, it was an offense that was based on controlling the clock, grinding out tough yards with the run game. And certainly Oregon had a great offensive line last year, a lot of veterans up front. C.J. Verdell was very good as a running back. And it was successful for the program, going 12-2, winning the Rose Bowl. But again, after seeing what Justin Herbert did in 2017, even some of the big-time throws that he made in 2018 when he kind of regressed a little bit, it was just frustrating. And it was almost an offense based in the past that teams are getting smarter, NFL and college, with throwing on first down when a defense is not expecting it and avoiding running the football on second and long, which will most likely put you in those third and long situations that you want to avoid as an offense. So it was kind of a classic style offense. I think Marcus Arroyo did a good job in that his job was to win football games, not necessarily make Justin Herbert the first overall pick, but so many screens, a lot of handoffs and situations where you wanted to see Justin Herbert throw the football. So it made him a more difficult evaluation, but I just trusted what I saw the previous two seasons and really liked him as a prospect.
Yeah, it wasn't even just running the ball too much, too. It was they didn't even use him as a plus one in the run game until the Pac-12 title game last year, and then Utah and Wisconsin couldn't stop it. It's like, where the hell was that all year? The Chargers are 2-4. They did Herbert did, got his first win over Jacksonville this weekend, but I might be wrong on this. Probably heading for a below 500 year. They're just rookie quarterback. A lot of guys are banged up on that roster. If that ends up being the case and Herbert continues to play well, we know the formula is trying to win with guys on a rookie quarterback deal. Where do they need to go with a, you know, get ballpark a top 12, top 13 draft pick? And then with free agent money, where would you like to see them build around him going to the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think even if the Chargers do go something like 6-10 or even 5-11, but Justin Herbert flashes like he has, and I'm not saying he's going to throw for 329 yards every week, but if he looks the part, Chargers fans should be ecstatic because that's what matters more than anything else. From what I've seen in this new wave of young quarterbacks that may not be these amazing pocket passers but are great freestyling outside the pocket like Herbert, that have the big arms that can throw on the run, offensive line matters more than anything else. I think there's a glut of wide receivers both in the draft every year and in free agency that you can sign. Mm-hmm. College just pumping out, you know, quality wide receiver prospects. I feel like we're going to say this is the best receiver class like every year over the next 5 years. So don't worry about that. Build the offensive line.
Yeah.
I live near Buffalo, and seeing what Josh Allen has become from this ultra raw quarterback, someone that I wasn't very high on because he had such a far way to go. The Bills signed 6 offensive linemen last year. They brought in more offensive linemen. They drafted one in the second round. They've done a great job to insulate Josh Allen and not have him think about the pass rush all the time. So more than anything else, first round pick, it's a pretty good offensive tackle class. I think that's priority number one. Second and third round, and then in free agency, bring in some more wide receivers to complement Keenan Allen. So I think more than anything else, and you've seen Justin Herbert under pressure quite a bit, and he still made those plays, but letting him not be pressured almost half the time he drops back to pass would be the next step in him from going a quality rookie to one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, Chris, I'll get you out here very, very quickly because we're up against it here, man. Burrow and Herbert have both shown incredible flashes and kind of given you a sense that maybe those two organizations have their next franchise quarterback. I know it's early, but that's kind of the vibe I think everybody gets when you watch them play. Do you think Tua will show out in his debut? Do you expect any big things from Tua the way that we've seen with Herbert and Burrow?
I don't know if I'm expecting the type of impressive performances from Tua as I've seen from Burrow and Herbert. I'm a little concerned about Tua's arm strength and the fact that he's not quite the athlete that Burrow or Herbert are, and his offensive line isn't very good. It's better than it was in Miami. But, you know, that formula of a bad offensive line at times and a quarterback that can't really extend outside the pocket and has a weaker arm, I think he'll be good because he's accurate. But what we've seen from Burrow and Herbert, given their situations, has just been outstanding.
Yeah, great stuff. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports, really good stuff. A good article. Go check it out on our Twitter account and at CBS Sports as well. And give Chris a follow at Chris Trapasso on Twitter. You can see his handle there. On our show account. Great stuff, Chris. Thanks so much for hopping on, man. Good piece, and we'll have to catch up with you to talk some more prospects heading into the draft, given Penei Sewell might be one of the top picks in the draft this year.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.